back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. This is the first episode of season five. We are very excited. As always, we are a Star Wars podcast, so we're going to be discussing some news that has dropped that is interesting. But really, the bulk of our conversation today is going to be about Rebel Moon Part 1, which is Zack Snyder's attempt to remake Star Wars and Samurai 7, or I don't really know what to call it except for bad.
It was an experience, let's put it that way.
Not a good one. But that's just my opinion, and we'll get into it. But we did get some news about Star Wars. Want to talk about it, Goose?
Yeah, and before we get going into everything, season five, holy crap. Like how time has flown. I never thought, well, I always thought that we would do season one. I was very happy to see that we finished that one and then we did a second one. But it's kind of mind blowing to think that, you know, we're started
already at five.
2019. It's already, season five. That how time has flown. You know, this started during COVID. Now we're in a completely different world full of wars in the Middle East.
And we still have COVID, obviously, still get your vaccinations, kids.
Yeah. I'm grappling with time and how insane this journey has been. You're now in your final year of
law school, last semester.
I can't believe it. So with that, you know, happy new year to everybody. We haven't recorded or talked to anybody since our last episode for the holiday, so a couple of weeks off. So it feels good. Feels good to be back. How were your holidays?
It was good. I mean, I was working actually, so it wasn't like I could. Yeah, because I kind of took a month off during before and during finals and stuff. So my bosses were on vacation, so it's like, oh, can you just like keep an eye out? Blah blah blah. So I was actually working, and then my sister has two babies, so she's really strict about, you know, the hanging outs and because of people getting sick and, you know.
See, so when we started, there were zero babies.
Yeah, and now there's like two nieces and one nephew, like in less than 2 years. It's insane. It's insane.
Oh my God. What does that say about us? I don't know. I don't know what it says.
I don't care what it says about me.
Because it's wild because I still feel...
Yeah, I got married. I'm done. That's all I was going to do. No kids for me.
and your anniversary was fairly recently, so congratulations on that.
My wedding was fun.
It was. And it was Star Wars themed before the podcast. There was I remember there was like the Darth Vader and Stormtrooper little cakes as mementos for all of us to take back. So the Force was strong. Even before the podcast. The podcast is just an external manifestation now of like the things we always had
loved
in our hearts. Yeah. But speaking of things that are close to our hearts, there was a big bit of Star Wars news, and it's everyone's favorite little baby Yoda, Grogu, who has stolen everyone's hearts, is headed to the big screen. Lucasfilm announced this week, I forgot what day it was. I know what day it was. It was Tuesday, because that's when we relaunched our podcast identity and redesigned our logo and did all these things to kind of rebrand the podcast. And then Star Wars was like, no, this is not about you.
Yeah.
It's about us. And then they dropped the news basically at the same time that we dropped the announcement for like our podcast rebranding. So thank you, Star Wars, for stealing our thunder. Especially with baby Grogu, with baby Yoda / Grogu.
There's no competing.
But yeah, they announced the Mandalorian and Grogu, which I really hope that that's not the actual final name of the movie, because that's a weak name. Yeah. It's like, can we move away from just naming every show after the character that it's about? You know, it's Andor, Ahsoka, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let's just get some cool names. This name, I know that it's the easiest way to market it so that people immediately
know what it is,
what it's about, but come on, Star Wars has always had cool names. We have A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, Attack of the Clone. We have so many cool names, and now we're just like going,
Star Wars. The character is named this.
Yeah, it's like you're not gonna call. Yeah, you're not gonna You're not going to call the show Din Djarin and Din Grogu. Or the Dins. I don't know. I don't know.
Dins Family Vacation.
The Dins. Yeah, that would be good, actually. I would go see that movie. They announced that Jon Favreau going to direct, which I think is going to be great because he directed The Marshall, and that was one of the best episodes of The Mandalorian, period.
Yeah.
Dave Filoni is producer, helping out with the script. I think it's going to be the first movie now, based on what we know. It's going to be the first movie to come out of the new, you know, batch of films that have been announced. Nani, what was your initial reaction when you heard this news? Because I know I was kind of surprised by it, considering that I wasn't expecting more movie news, considering that we have enough movies to look forward to.
Yeah, and I still, honestly, I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting Mando to make it into the big screen. I mean, we knew that there was going to be kind of, I guess, an Avengers ending kind of thing to all the Filoniverse, but I wasn't expecting really for just like a Mandalorian film. So, and I don't know how I really feel about it, honestly. I don't know. I mean, part of the reason I think that The Mandalorian was so successful is because of the format of the TV show. And I think it's very difficult to bring a show and then you have this pacing already established and trying to translate it into film. I think it's going to be hard. So I don't know how I feel about it, to be completely honest. How about you?
And you make a good point. Like, it's interesting because we're under the impression, when I say we, I mean the royal we, and mostly me, because I'm giving this opinion, and it's my opinion, that the event film, right, that was like our Avengers Endgame thing, was going to be the Filoni movie. And that's where all the, you know, Mandoverse stuff, they were going to converge there. And I wonder if this was kind of a twofold decision type of thing. One, the cynical marketing decision. It's like, well, we need to get Star Wars back on the big screen. Mandalorian and Grogu are
our biggest
characters right now that like everyone and their mother recognizes. So let's just do a movie about that so that, you know, we can get butts in seats because everyone knows about that. That's one side of the equation. On the other side of the equation, I wonder if that was also kind of a story thing where as they were developing the Filoni film, it's like too much stuff was in it. It's just like that's the things that I'm kind of wondering about, like how you're gonna bring like Mando into like this Thrawn thing, if the Thrawn thing's gonna be like more heir to the Empire focus with Ahsoka and probably Luke. So it's just like
Standalone movie gonna be?
Right. I feel like maybe it was the thing. It's like, well, we can't really think Mando fits into the story comfortably, so maybe let's just put him in his own movie. And then have that movie be kind of like not a prequel, but, you know, the lead up to the other movie type of thing. It's like, does that make sense?
So kind of like the prologue, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm just like, I want to see new Star Wars. That's why I'm excited for the James Mangold, Dawn of the Jedi. Yeah. I'm excited for The Acolyte. I'm excited for the Rey movie. You know, I'm excited for films that are going to be doing something that are things that we haven't seen before. Yeah. Or that are going to take the story in directions that we're not familiar with. Yeah. this Filoni movie and now the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. Like, not that I'm not excited for them. I'm always excited for new Star Wars. And new Star Wars is better than no Star Wars.
And like you said, Jon Favreau is amazing. So,
yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm just like,
I'm gonna be cautiously optimistic. Yeah. But that's as much as I can be, I think.
And it'll even if it's not amazing, I'm sure it'll be fun. Yeah. Because despite everything, you know, we were relatively critical of Mando season 3, but it was still enjoyable. You know, it was still a show that had fun moments, and you know, we still sat down and watched it. And
I liked it more than Mando season 2.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mando season 1 is still the best by far.
Mando season 1 is the best by far, hands down. Yeah. If you only take Mando season 1, that's one of the, like, I think number 2 in my list of Star Wars shows. Obviously, Andor being 1.
Andor being first, yeah.
And then Mando season 1 being 2. I would say that. Because then season, I don't know, we've talked about ad nauseum about.
We will see how everything gets reshuffled when the second season of Andor and when Acolyte comes out. Because I think those two shows are contenders.
Oh yeah, baby. And then and that was the kind of covert announcement that they did as well, because at the end of the press release for Mandalorian and Grogu, they also announced that Ahsoka season 2 is in development. So
confirmed. The surprise of nobody.
The surprise of nobody, but it wasn't confirmed. So it's just kind of like a
little cherry on top, but it was still, I remember I saw it, but I was like, yeah, to the surprise of nobody.
And then they released a little sketch of Dave Filoni of like the Argonath, and it's just like the finger of the father, and then Sabine and Ahsoka standing on top, and I'm just like, beautiful. Let's keep going with the Lord of the Rings, you know, iconography, which I'm okay with. I just hope that they push it even further now. It's like just lean into mystical.
Well, yeah, and they pulled off more mystical than most Star Wars. So now that they know that it can actually work in a format that isn't just animation, I really hope that they do keep pushing the envelope on that.
I just want it to get weirder, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Right now it's almost weird enough, but it just needs to do the full punch. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that. The big question for that is Baylan Skoll, and what are they going to do with that character? I just hope that they recast him, because I think that character, Ray Stevenson, did such a good job with it, that it's a character that deserves to continue. So hopefully they recast him respectfully, obviously, and continue that character's journey, especially because it was left as a cliffhanger in terms of like what the character was going to do. So I'm excited for Ahsoka season 2. Not as much as Acolyte, but...
Mm-hmm. We can have our favorites.
We can have our favorite, but exactly. Yeah. But let's not be. Yeah, it's one of those things that I think is interesting about discourse, that people, just because they might not like a thing or not like it as much as something else, then that they have to invalidate someone else because they like that thing more than. Mm-hmm. This is like, that's just.
Well, and you were had like no expectations for Andor.
Yeah,
and now it's like your favorite of all the shows.
I was very cynical. I was very cynical about Andor. I will be the lesson first learned. One to admit it. Yeah. Sometimes we have to get our own heads out of our own asses. Yeah. Because sometimes we just lodge our heads really tight up in that sphincter. And we just gotta, you know, get that WD-40 and just get it out and, you know, touch some grass. It's very important to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a evolving process. We learn to do it slowly. I mean, we never stop learning. Yeah, because every once in a while we put our heads back up there.
Yeah,
you just have to remind yourself.
Re-dislodged.
Re-dislodged. Yes, that's why we need our friends. That's why we need each other to keep ourselves in check. But enough about George Lucas's legacy of Star Wars. Let's go into the
Zack Snyder's attempt.
The meat and potatoes of today with Zack Snyder, the Snyder Wars, as this episode is going to be called.
The Snyder Wars.
So for those who remember, Zack Snyder, a couple of years ago or whatever, like, had done a pitch to Kathleen Kennedy about his version of a Star Wars film, and he was promptly
rejected
for his idea. So he decided that was actually a blessing in disguise for him, because then he can just make it however he wants to do it without, you know, having to have the limitations
Lucasfilm interference
of Lucasfilm, for better or worse, you'll be the judge of it. And now, fast forward all this time, and here we are, Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 1, whatever the hell the subtitle is out. It's on Netflix.
A Child of Fire.
A Child of Fire. There was no fire in that movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Except for the really badly executed lightsabers. I know, we're trying to be kind, but there's just no way.
You know, I like Zack Snyder. Let me start saying that I like Zack Snyder. I like his director's cut of Justice League. I thought it was good. I know it's controversial, but I actually liked it. I love 300. I know that also it's controversial to say, but I really like Watchmen, especially the director's cut.
Yeah.
He's very hit and miss. It's either you like it or you don't. Mm-hmm. But I kind of was hopeful, you know, for this, because I was like, okay, we deserve a new sci-fi fantasy thing that can live with Star Trek and Star Wars and kind of be this thing that we can also enjoy in a separate way and have it be different too, because I don't think we've ever had violent and, you know, gritty sci-fi. Yeah. You know, okay, someone's going to correct me and say, like, Alien franchise or yeah. Terminator, but shut the fuck up. We're talking about, and I mean that respectfully, I'm sorry.
Dune has violence and grit.
True, but it's fantastical, you know? Yeah. And I feel like mm-hmm. that's what makes Rebel Moon different, is that it feels too grounded. It feels too earth. It feels too, you know, it doesn't feel detached enough from the present for me to suspend my disbelief and, you know, feel like I'm in this fantastical world. But yeah. we'll get to like those nitpicks / minutia later. I want to hear, since unfortunately you watched it because I told you to watch it, yeah. and I feel responsible for that. I apologize. I want to know your thoughts about the movie. But be fair. I mean, don't filter yourself, but also be fair.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna try. It was terrible.
I'm gonna try. It was terrible.
So I didn't know what to expect because you didn't tell me really what it was, and you know that my social media game is like non-existent. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go in with any expectations whatsoever. And then I watched it yesterday. Actually, started watching it yesterday. I couldn't get through it in one sitting. I got like halfway through and I was like, I can't keep watching this. I need to like go to sleep or something and maybe look at it with new eyes tomorrow. And it did not help. And I think the last movie that happened was with Wonder Woman 1984 that me and Jose Bajan just could not get through from sitting. And the difference is that I was, you know, with Wonder Woman, because I love the first one so much, I just kept waiting for it to get better, you know? It just never did, which is so sad. But this one, I didn't even care how it ended. I only continued to watch it because we were going to talk about it today. Like, I didn't feel attached really to any of the characters, so I didn't really care how it ended. I think the best things about it, like, character-wise, were the clip that Cary Elwes is the king, which I kind of really enjoyed, mm-hmm. and then that C-3PO kind of character.
The best character, Anthony Hopkins' character, the best one, yeah. and we didn't get anything from
him. Yeah, and then it's just like a screenshot of him like at the end after he started developing this really cool droid character. But I didn't care about the other ones. They kept repeating like for each one what their role was in the past, but you didn't get anything mm-hmm. emotional from right. any of them. Right. So right. it's like... it could have been like half an hour shorter, and if you cut out all the slow motion stuff, it probably would have been half an hour shorter. I mean, like you were saying, I liked 300 a lot. It was cool, the slow motion back then, but that was almost 20 years ago. Come up with something new, Zack Snyder. Don't say that.
I hate hearing 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago. For me, 20 years ago means the 80s.
No. It means the 2000s.
Shut up.
Yes. We are getting that old, Goose. No. Get over it. Stop. Yes. We are 80s children. but yeah, so it's been so long, and the slow motion just, it detracted so much from the action sometimes. And he really has to cool it with the lens flare, too. Like, mm-hmm. there was lens flare with the lightsabers against every surface. every like blaster, it was way too shiny. You could barely look at the screen sometimes, and it just, some things were, this wasn't his version of Star Wars. This was straight up a Star Wars imitation game. I mean, mm-hmm. he basically redid the cantina scene,
yeah, that which was a good scene though.
It was a good scene, but it's a ripoff yeah. of Star Wars, you know. The like the initial monologue was basically a crawl,
right?
Yes. And it's literally, it wasn't the destruction of a republic, it was a monarchy that's getting destroyed, but the senator now comes into power and he sent his biggest badass to go hunt rebels. Mm-hmm. Rebel Moon. I was like, what? You seriously just set up the Emperor and Darth Vader, and then Darth Vader, noble the guy was, he was also partly mechanical, and then you have him like falling, and then this time it's like into water, not lava, but it's... There were so many parallels. And then the character Korra and, you know, who the Emperor is supposed to be, it's actually, they have like this Gamora-Thanos relationship. I destroyed your planet, they had to take you in, and now you're my daughter. I mean, he was ripping off everything left and right. We know that Star Wars stole from Dune and stole from Seven Samurai, but this wasn't even trying to be subtle about it. This was just like, in your face, I'm ripping this off. And here, it's new, but it wasn't. Sorry, I ranted. I'm done.
No, please, please, by all means. That's why we're here. And that's why all two people that listen to this podcast tune in to hear specifically your ranting. But I don't disagree. with a lot, and like I said, I was kind of hopeful going into the movie because, like, you know, I don't want things to fail. You know, I know. I want art to be successful because, like, this is art, and Zack Snyder, you know, is one of those people that, like, have at least, you know, has the balls to do uncompromising art, because, like, everything he does is exactly what he wants to do. Which I absolutely respect. But see, I don't mind the whole, like, being inspired by something, because every at this point in, you know, in life, everything's inspired by something, because, like, everything's been done, right? So everything's a reinterpretation of a reinterpretation. So in that sense, like, I wasn't too, I was expecting, right, to see the parallels with Star Wars. But I would have hoped for a little more transformation.
A little bit more originality.
Yeah. And one thing that you were saying that I think is one of the things that I started getting a little dubious about, right, when the movie is starting, is that opening crawl, because I was just like, this is too much exposition. Like, the cool thing about Star Wars is that, yes, it implies a past, it implies a history. Yeah. It kind of gives you enough for you to understand the gist of everything, but still keep it vague enough to understand the vastness of it and the fantasy of it too, as well, right? And I feel like Zack Snyder, especially in this movie, was over-explaining things to an extent that, like, made it feel very clinical, and everything was exposition, and we were being told a lot and not being shown anything.
Yeah, which we complain about so often, that show don't tell is so important. And they were just telling us shit over and over and over. And it was like a lot of like oratory too, like one character talking by themselves, giving the speech about something. And there wasn't like actual conversations happening between the characters. It was so weird.
And even when you got like a flashback to show something, you still had the character have
explain it again
over it, and it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, I get it.
We can see it on the screen.
and then it's like, the flashbacks were not compelling at all, because, like, you're not really getting enough backstory to care about it, because the minute you saw the flashback, it's just, okay, it's over, whatever. So it's just like, so what was the point of all this? So I feel like the movie was trying to do too much explaining and not a lot of doing, because then the part that I felt was the strongest was the beginning, when they're in the planet, in the agriculture, in the agricultural planet. I feel that was the best part of the film, because it was the most original to an extent, even though it's not original, because it's still the farm
Seven Samurai
farm girl discovering her destiny, blah blah blah. Even though she's always known that she's a badass, so it's kind of different from Luke in that sense,
right?
But, you know, at least you have like this world where, like, they reject technology because they, you know, the value of doing things with their hands. So I thought that was really cool. But then, like, all of a sudden you get the space Nazis show up, and they're dressed, there's not even subtle, they're dressed exactly like Nazis slash Soviets. It's like, not apparently,
because Bando was just like, if they actually have an SS written on their uniforms, I'm like, that's all you need.
And this is a nitpick, but it's a major one for me, because I'm a design nerd. You know, one of the things that I really like about Star Wars and a lot of science fiction and fantasy and stuff is, like, how they're able to obviously get inspired by real human history things, but then transform it so that
so
you can still get the shorthand of what they're referring to, because, you know, if you look at the First Order and the Empire, clearly, like, their uniforms and stuff are being inspired by, you know, World War II uniforms and stuff like that, but they're still transformed enough where they become kind of their own thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like this film didn't do that at all. It's just like, okay, there's no shorthand. It's hand, basically. Yeah. It's like, they're just, it's like,
that. They're
it's
that.
Just a uniform. Mm-hmm. It's like, here we go. Yep. Here's a 1920s, you know, 30s, whatever, uniform from the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany, and like, bam, yeah. and they're in space
here.
Now.
Here you
and
go.
And it takes me out of the moment, because I'm just like, this is not the future, you know? Yeah. It's like, and they're wearing ties. It's like, the ties threw me off. I mean, it's like, there's no ties in space. That's the past, buddy.
There's no ties in space.
So I know that that's a major nitpick. I know most people don't care what these people are wearing. But for me, like, having those...
But it's really important. I think costume design is important to keep you in the moment. And then the stormtroopers themselves, like, the armor was so boring looking.
I mean,
they didn't seem menacing at all. It was weird. It's weird.
It was, because it was, I mean, I don't want to discredit the designers, because obviously they're doing their job and they're doing the best that they can. Mm-hmm. But it felt I felt like there were some baffling decisions in that sense, to like keep everything way too similar to how things are now.
Yeah.
That for me, like, removed me from
the ships as well. I didn't like the design of the ships.
Did you feel that the ships were too similar to the ones from Man of Steel? Because I'm just like, is this like Kryptonian ships?
I feel like Zack Snyder was also ripping himself off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not just like all these other things, but he was ripping himself off. I mean, that one scene where the like rebel leader jumps off, that's straight up from 300. That's like frame from frame, a scene from 300. I was like, dude, you're even ripping yourself off?
Yeah. It's almost a parody of himself to an extent.
It's baffling. At a moment, I started to think, like, is this supposed to be a parody?
I think some of the best parody is parody that doesn't know that it's a parody. And I think this is kind of becoming a parody that you know, it's Spaceballs Part 2 in a way, you know? But... Yeah, and it's weird, because the same way I'm saying that the ships look too much like the ones from Man of Steel, it's almost a quasi compliment, because in Man of Steel, like, all the sequences in Krypton, I really, really liked. Design of Krypton, and like how all the ships were, how all everything looked. So I think like that visual aesthetic of the alienness of Krypton in that film, I thought really, really worked. So kind of to see it in this film was weird, because then I'm like, why did it work there but not
and now
here?
Yeah, because the design kind of changed and it made them kind of more functional looking. I don't know if that's instead of making them look a little bit more actually futuristic. I don't know, there was something strange about
it.
But then they kept the ramps almost exactly like the ones from Star Wars.
Oh yeah. So the same shot of, like, the steam coming down the ramp, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
I got it, buddy. It was truly a baffling film.
I was so confused. I was like...
Well, and the problem too, and you mentioned it at the beginning of your review, was the... It's obviously very, very Seven Samurai, unapologetically so. And to be fair, Star Wars has done Seven Samurai 1,000 times.
Oh,
The Clone Wars and The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. And The Bad Batch.
So it's Star Wars has done it too. So it's not as if Star Wars is blameless and ripping off that. But here it was so again, it's about transforming things. And here it wasn't transformed at all.
Yeah.
But what made it to me more problematic was that sequence of like gathering all the heroes that are going to save the village. Yeah. Felt like a montage, you know. It's just like it felt very detached from a linear story, right?
Yeah.
It's like in the three arc structure of a film, this felt like it was kind of like a tangent. It felt very episodic. It felt like a show. It felt like a Mandalorian type of thing.
Well, yeah, you know? And then it was like
bam, 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 and then movie's over.
I know, and it also felt like it was a checklist. Like, you don't go out on this grand adventure and you have like numbered how many people you're actually gonna get. I mean, it started to feel like a checklist. Oh, I got my one, I got my two. How many are we down to? Do we have all seven yet? Are we done? It was crazy. Josbando this morning was like, how many were we up to when we decided to go to bed? 4, 5? I was like, wow, that's how it makes you feel, that you're just like collecting these warriors.
You're collecting Infinity Stones. But way yeah, less interesting. Yeah. Actually, yeah, the Infinity Stones probably have more personality than those characters.
Warriors.
Yeah. Because then those characters don't have any character traits to them. They're just a caricature of a trope. And you don't get to, and again, it's because the movie takes so long for some things that then you don't have time to develop those characters. So I thought it was always funny that you go into the planet, find the person, the first does something badass, and then we move on to the next thing.
To the next one.
And then in the next one, like the other character you picked up before has no interaction with anybody.
No, so
like,
they don't even speak. Yeah. It's not like you're building a community as it's happening.
Right.
You're
exactly. Just like, there's no
you're
family.
You're collecting warriors. Yeah.
You're collecting warriors. They're not a family. They don't talk to each other. These samurai don't have any found family. They're just like cogs in a machine. And then they do like their little battle at the end. That was very underwhelming. The one character dies and I felt nothing when he died. Because I'm just like, well, I had no idea who you are.
And so, he was supposed to be like the revolutionary leader, the one that started the whole movement. And then when like his group of misfits like detaches, they're like, oh, he has his own bad batch. It's awesome. Yay. And then they all die except like for the one woman. So the only ones that had like found family, let's just murder all of them.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense for some reason that I can't.
And then the movie ends. It's like they get to the planet and that's it. And it's like, okay. There's literally no, it felt like an episode of Netflix. Like this is just the ending of this episode. And now,
we're going to episode 2.
And you're getting the little thing at the bottom of the screen. Are you still watching next episode? And with the countdown so that you hit it and then the next one starts. But no, because this is a movie. And now we have to wait a couple months before the next film comes out. So,
but there was no coherence in it as a standalone film.
No. But did you know? Because I didn't tell you this. I don't know if you know this. Maybe you do. And maybe you expected it. But did you know that there's going to be a Snyder cut of the movie that's even longer?
Of course there is. There's always the fucking Snyder cut.
Which I feel is very disingenuous to like have.
Because this time you didn't have the pushback that was the reason for the director's cuts previously. Because you had pushback from creators, you had pushback from studios, and then you wanted it how you wanted it, and then you get your director's cut. I understand that. But this one, from the beginning, you got to do it how you want it. So, so what? You're just banking on double release to cash in more money?
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's smart to an extent on Netflix's part because they're trying to capitalize on the whole Snyder Cut movement and release the Snyder Cut. It's like, oh, now we have our Snyder Cut. It's like it's the Rebel. Tune into Netflix so you can see the new Snyder Cut of this. But it's like, exactly, you don't need it. It's streaming. Yeah. You can make a movie as long as you want. You can release it in however format
you want. Many parts you want, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like the fact that like this was kind of cooked into the marketing for it is cynical. And we know that all Hollywood studios are cynical and that stuff, fine. But it's like, it's one of those things where I get if you're going to do a director's cut later because it's so much longer than this one, but at least we made sure that the theatrical, well, it's not theatrical because this didn't come out in theaters, but the main release of it is still, you know, like a well-constructed story, then okay, maybe. But at this point, I'm just like, wait, so you just like cut off so much of this movie? Because I can almost guarantee you that the director's cut is going to be like, I'm not going to say good, but it's going to at least fill in a lot of the things that we're complaining about. There's going to be a lot more character development for all the samurai. There's probably going to be a lot more Anthony Hopkins' robot character, which we'll get to in a minute because he was the only good thing in the movie.
Correct.
But it's just like, why do we have to sacrifice it from the beginning? It's like, couldn't we just make a movie that made sense from...
Well, and it's already been proven that really long films and streaming, they work. Because
you can pause them. You can go to the bathroom.
No, and they're still successful films. Like, what was it, like, Scorsese's previous one that was, like, The Irishman, that was, like, over 3 hours long or something, and was critically and acclaimed, and by the people, too, loved it. And I think the new, the Killers of the Flower Moon is really long, too, the new DiCaprio one.
But that one's not good.
I have no real interest in watching that one, but I'm just saying that it's,
you can miss out.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to know about Killers of the Flower Moon, we're not going to review it on this channel. Just go to my letterbox.
Read my review there.
No, I mean, it was good. It's Martin Scorsese. Yeah. Martin Scorsese does not make a bad movie. The problem is that I said we were not going to review it, and we're reviewing it now. Yeah. The problem was, to keep it short, the movie was marketed about the Osage, Osage Nation, and like all the stuff about what they had to go through in the first FBI murders were, those Osage murders and all that stuff. So I thought the movie was going to be a lot more focused on Lily Gladstone and the Native American and the Native American nation and culture that is being shown. And it was anything but. So I'm just like, okay, so you've decided to focus on the most boring part of the story and not look at like these people suffering. Yeah. And
so basically just a huge missed opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Like, you could tell that Martin Scorsese was trying to do the right thing,
but it fell through somehow.
But it's an old white guy, you know, he can't get out of his like bias and like how to structure these films. And, you know, and it's fine. At least now that's why we have Echo and Kahori in What If Season 2. We have like some great Native American representation in the MCU. So, but we can talk about that some other time.
Yeah, we can talk about it later. But anyway, back to Rebel Moon. Man. but yeah, you're right.
That was a problem.
I didn't know this whole that it was marketed from the beginning that there was going to be a Drexter set. That sounds super shady to me, honestly.
It's like the anti-Lord of the Rings type of thing. Because Lord of the Rings, at least, the movies were good from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, they were. Now it's so just people, like, we have extended like, editions.
Exactly. So people were like, wait, we got a good movie to begin with, and now it's going to be more good movie? Like, let's go! And now the extended editions are kind of the definitive version.
Ones that you watch.
Of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, well, and back then, too, with Lord of the Rings, it was rare for movies to be so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the olden times when it was like The Sound of Music and stuff, the really long movies had intermissions and everything. The Lord of the Rings to begin with were pretty extensive. So I'm assuming they didn't know how successful it was going to be. And that's why probably they held back those extended edition versions. And then we love us some Lord of the Rings. Talking of which, everybody in fantasy steals from Tolkien. Just because you steal from Tolkien doesn't mean you can't have an original thought.
Orcs came from Tolkien. Come on. Come at me.
Yes. Yes. But then that's the problem with this. It didn't feel original in any shape or form.
The only original thing was Anthony Hopkins's robot character, which was the best part of the movie.
And it was still kind of based on C-3PO.
Yes and no. It's a British voice on a droid. But like it's an assassin droid, but the droids decided to not follow their programming. So there's
because
something
they had,
there, but
they
then he recognizes
their alliance, and then
Then they recognize that she might be the princess, which obviously she is the princess. But and then like it's like, oh shit, and then he decides to kill again after I don't know how long from not killing. I'm like, okay,
I'm okay with that.
I'm like, it's okay, really cool. And obviously it's Anthony Hopkins' voice, so.
And I honestly really assumed that they were kind of maybe bringing it along or something. Like, this is to protect. And then I remember halfway through the movie, it's like, where happened to that awesome character?
Exactly.
Where did he go?
Exactly. Exactly. And then they just come back to the planet. He's wearing antlers. And I'm like, okay, that looks cool.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
But he's just standing there.
Right. It's like, why
end
doesn't
of movie.
It? Exactly. And then, boom. Wait till episode 2. And I was like, god damn it.
Talking about missed opportunities.
Well, you'll see that the extended cut is going to explain where he got the antlers.
Right, right. What he was like, doing on the planet this whole time.
Right.
Defending his people.
Doing something. I don't fucking know. Maybe he was just finding the antlers this whole time. Like, based on like how the rest of the movie goes, it's like he wasn't doing anything. He was looking for antlers.
Nothing. Nothing. Oh, man. Well, anyway, I think I don't think there's any more to dissect. There's really not much to this. There's not a lot of depth either that we can kind of dive into.
So I think there's only two more things to do. One, are we going to watch? Well, I'm going to watch them, but are we going to talk about the next parts?
We can decide later once they come out.
Once we watch them, it's like, okay, that was better. We can talk about it now. If they're bad, we won't. Like, there's no point in investing.
Well, the thing is, I don't even know if I want to watch it.
Right. It's like let's invest on positivity here.
Yeah. So
we'll see. Well, maybe we'll watch them, and if we like them, we'll talk about
them. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one. And then the other one is just like, okay, what made Star Wars work where this one didn't? What do you think is like the inherent difference between these two films? Considering, right, that Rebel Moon is basically, it's a quasi-Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So why does one work and the other one doesn't, in your opinion?
I think it's hard to define because there's... One, obviously, it's so much tied to nostalgia, and Star Wars did come first, and we always have to acknowledge that. That what came first and what's important in our hearts is always gonna be, like, you know, the original thing that we love. It happened a lot to Dune. Dune wasn't successful, really, until this last version, and I still think that Dune is kind of like an extended perfume commercial, so I have, you know, I don't know. And I wasn't able to talk to you and Mo on the Dune review because I hadn't watched it yet and I was in finals or something at the time. But I think it was something about how hard George tried. Like, he had such a small budget, but he tried so hard to make the film look a certain way. And the originality that he brought to it, the design of those ships. I mean, the first time you see a Star Destroyer, you're just like, what am I watching? And the characters themselves is also what matters, because that found family that you have, that you become so attached to, the Skywalkers, and then everything that happens throughout, and this, you know, there's this long history of things that you has never really talked about, but it's always in the background, and you're kind of always curious about what's going on, and somehow in this one you don't really care.
Right.
You don't care about who the king and queen were. You don't care that they were murdered. You don't really feel for any of the characters. They're very one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one character that was supposed to be Han Solo, I'm assuming, there was, like, no redemption to him. He just like, betrays, gets killed. There's nothing going on, you know? So there's this sense, you don't feel empathy, really, for any of the characters. Mm-hmm. And in Star Wars, I mean, Darth Vader is one of the most notorious villains of cinematic history, and you still feel for him because eventually you get to meet Anakin. You know that there's a tragic backstory. There is vindication of the character. Yeah, there's all this, and George Lucas wasn't the best writer to begin with, and he pulled off something better, you know, but he had the story beats. I think this didn't really know what it was. It was ripping off from so many different things. You're ripping off Star Wars and Seven Samurai and the Avengers and himself. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't think it ever really knew what it even was. And I think that's one of the reasons that it doesn't really work.
There's one thing that you mentioned that I didn't bring up before, but thanks for reminding me. There's something that I was thinking about while I was watching it, and it's the villain and how weak the villain is in terms of, like, you know, making you either root for because everyone's kind of rooting for Darth Vader because he's so cool, or like hate because, like, oh, this guy's so evil. And it's like the character, one, he doesn't look like, you know, like, because he's not, doesn't have a mask or whatever, and just wearing Nazi uniforms. Like, okay, he's just a dude.
And we only find out he's, like, mechanical at the end, but it's just, that neural connection thing that doesn't really make him any more menacing. So.
Which, cool, I guess. But it was also, like, he was cartoonishly evil, which I think when you're cartoonishly evil, it doesn't land. Especially in a movie that's, like, which I think is the problem with a lot of these Zack Snyder films lately, is that they take themselves so seriously that they're kind of funny. You know, it's like what you were saying. It's, like, kind of a parody. It's like, it's taking itself so seriously that it kind of backfires on itself. And I think that was kind of the issue with this guy's villain. He's, like, so over the top evil and just killing people for no reason with the bat or whatever, the cane, whatever the hell it was.
Oh, me and Nuno Husbando were talking in the Stick of Destiny.
Yeah. I didn't even feel any menace from him at that point. Because I'm just like, you're just a cartoon character, man. Like, there's no, there's no threat or menace to you. You're a cartoon. You're Elmer Fudd, you know?
Yeah, and the king's gaze was like such a poor imitation of the Death Star that
It's like I think that was a problem. Where Star Wars kind of acknowledged that it was a fairy tale and was very fantastical about all and kind the of
makes
that it was doing.
It makes fun of itself, kind of, but not to an extent that it takes you out of the situation. It'll be like, yeah, that is kind of ridiculous, but we're going with it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just like, this is, you know, this is fantasy. It's a fairy tale. It's
feel immersed absurd. In it. It's a world that you can feel yourself immersed in and lose yourself in and become invested in these characters. And here you're just like,
yeah, because everyone's so like everyone's so angsty and serious that like you like I think that's the important thing of a movie kind of like this, where like you have to have characters that you empathize with and connect with and like kind of see yourself in. And I feel like all of these characters were so epic, and you know, they were supposed to be so serious and all these things that kind of detaches you from
them. But somehow you present them as like so epic and whatever, but they're still super one dimensional. So
they're
it's
a trope.
Like, it's like a conundrum that it's like, oh, superheroes, but we're all kind of the same.
Well, even because what's her name? Like the main character's name, Sofia Boutella's character, who's the main character, but she doesn't really feel like a main character because she doesn't really go through any journey. Like she was already a badass from the military. Mm-hmm. She already had this backstory, and then she's like, well, I'm gonna go from A to B, and that's it. There was like no real journey.
Well, I mean,
for
her backstory is almost exactly Gamora's backstory, and Gamora is a compelling character. And this one,
well, because Gamora goes through stuff, you know. She has daddy issues. She has sister issues. She has like the worst Chris of all the Chrises, gunning for her affection, and that's traumatic in of itself. This should be a clip. That was funny.
The worst Chris of all the Chrises.
Yeah,
it
that
is
was
true.
Funny.
It is true. You can keep it.
That was good. Good job, me. I hope people listen up to this point because that was a good joke. Anyway, I said, and I was like, wow, good job, me. Starting 2024, relatively good. But yeah, you know, Gamora goes through stuff and, you know, she dies, but then she comes back. And then when she comes back, she's not the same Gamora because she's from the past. So it's very compelling because things happen to her, but nothing happens to Sophia's character. Like, they just, okay, let's recruit 7 samurai, and then
come back,
let's wait for the sequel now. So
nothing.
I felt nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing.
So, yeah, let's stop being negative.
I know, because we usually try to look at things positively, but it's just really hard this time. So we're just going to leave it to you.
Let's just say
let us know what you thought.
We didn't connect with it. Let's put it down.
Yeah.
Let's be kind. Rewind and just say that it didn't connect with us. And if it connected with you, let us know why. Put it in the comments. Tell us like what you liked about it. What we missed.
We like getting our minds changed too.
Yes,
we're super up for that.
I definitely like hearing like a differing opinion to mine, because then it's just like, oh, okay. I like to know what things I missed. So if we missed something and you interpreted something differently, let us know in the comments. Email us, DM us, whatever, so that we can have you on the show, and then you can debate us and from a point of good faith. We're not gonna debate with bad faith takes.
Yeah, and actual haters.
Yeah, no, we don't got time for that. We're in season 5. We don't got time for haters. we block and mute the haters. Is that we just?
Oh yeah, we don't need that. Nah,
no.
We're too old for that shit. Anyway, I think we're done, Goose.
We're done with the first episode of the 5th season. Holy crap!
We are Triad of the Force. Remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment. We are just getting started on season 5. Stick around. 2024 is going to be good. Mm-hmm. The SAG-AFTRA strikes are done. They got mostly all of that they wanted. So looking forward to the new stuff that we didn't get last year. So hopefully we're going to be able to talk about more things this year. Have more guests. Have some fun. Meet a Goose. So please stay tuned. And until next time, may the Force be with you.